This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
How do you know that Jesus Christ is God? How would you answer if someone asked you that question? Today we're going to make sure that you are equipped to give the answer on the authority of the Word of God as we continue our study of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Before we begin today's message, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the worldwide listening audience that you are bringing together to listen to this broadcast each week. May the seed of the Word bear much fruit as it goes forth today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our study of the great declaration about Jesus Christ that we find in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In other words, the Apostle Paul, under divine inspiration, is declaring that Jesus Christ is God Himself. In our last message, we began to consider this question: how do we know that this is true? How do we know that Jesus Christ is God? Think about this fact. Those who actually believe that Jesus Christ is the one true and living God are a small minority of the world's population. Even among those who call themselves Christians, think about it. Most religions, even nominally Christian ones, deny the Bible's teaching that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is truly God. Mainline liberal churches deny it. Most emergent church leaders deny it. Many in the purpose-driven church movement deny it. Pseudo-Christian cults like the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses deny it. Roman Catholicism claims to teach the deity of Jesus Christ, but Rome worships Mary alongside of Christ, and Rome usurps the honor that is due only to Christ and gives it to a pope. And according to a reliable survey, 57% of American evangelicals do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, 57% of evangelicals. And beyond all of these are the open Christ deniers of Islam, Hinduism, and a host of other pagan religions. Let me make the question more personal. How do you know that Jesus Christ is God? What do you say when someone asks you that question? If you are a Christian today, are you ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you? Sadly, even many truly born-again Christians are not prepared to give that kind of an answer. Today, I want to make sure that you are equipped to give the answer. As we saw last time, our sole authority in giving that answer must be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And the Bible leaves no question, no doubt, about the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Eternal Son. Scripture declares that God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, existed from all eternity, that He is God from all eternity, and that He is the Creator of all things. And in our last message, I gave you 8 points on this. These are ways in which the Bible declares this to be so. We covered the first 6 of them in our last message, and we're going to cover the 7th today. Let me briefly review all of them once again before we move on. Point number 1, we have the great declaration of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 concerning the deity of Christ. Point number 2, Jesus Himself unequivocally stated that He is God. Point number 3, Jesus is spoken of as the Son throughout the Bible, from as early in the Old Testament as the second Psalm. Point number 4, we have the inspired declarations of the writer of the book of Hebrews. And we said that Hebrews is a great New Testament commentary on Old Testament truth. And it is a very rich commentary on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Point number 5. We have the testimony of Scripture about the incarnation of God the Son. What happened when God the Son came into the world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we found that He remained fully God, even as He also became fully man? Point number 6. We saw last time that Scripture repeatedly emphasizes the deity of the Son of God by teaching Christ's deity in His names. Point number 7, which we'll take up today, is that Scripture ascribes to Jesus Christ the attributes that only God can have. And point number 8, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is to be worshipped, and only God is to be worshipped. So today we resume with point number 7, that Scripture ascribes to Jesus Christ the attributes that only God can have. In other words, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God by telling us about His attributes. And under point number 7, I want to give you 9 sub-points under this heading, that Scripture ascribes to Jesus Christ the attributes that only God can have. And let me list them for you first, and then we'll come back and consider each one individually. Number 1, Jesus Christ, Scripture teaches, is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. Number 2, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows all things. Number 3, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is omnipotent. He has all power. Number 4, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is immutable. He is unchangeable. Number 5, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is life itself. Number 6, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is the performer of miracles. Number 7, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Number 8, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is the sustainer of the universe. And number 9, Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is the forgiver of sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God by telling us about these attributes. So now let's consider each of these 9 sub-points, these 9 attributes individually. And in order to do that, I'll call to your attention some of the Scripture passages that prove these things. And let me mention right now that if you're not in a position to take notes, you can go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and you can download a printable copy of the complete text of this message. Just go to the broadcast link on our website, teachingtheword.org. So first of all, point number 1, sub-point number 1. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time, and that is an attribute of God alone. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And notice, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus is with us wherever we go. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to one of His apostles, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." The same Christ who is at the right hand of the Father in heaven dwells in the heart of every believer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Colossians 1:27, Paul writes the same thing. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So first of all, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is omnipresent. Subpoint number two, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows all things, and that is an attribute of God alone. Matthew chapter 9, verse 4, "And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts?'" Jesus, while he was on earth in a human body, knew the unspoken thoughts of men. John chapter 2, verse 25, tells us that Jesus had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. John chapter 16, verse 30, "After seeing this demonstrated many times over, his disciples said to him, 'Now we are sure that you know all things, and have no need that anyone should question you. By this, we believe that you came forth from God.'" So once again, our second subpoint is that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows all things. That was true when he was on earth, and it is true now as he is in heaven, ruling and reigning and interceding for his saints. Subpoint number three, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is omnipotent. He has all power, and that also, like omnipresence and omniscience, is an attribute of God alone. As we saw a few moments ago in Matthew 28:18, Jesus told his disciples, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He possesses all power, and that is an attribute of God alone. Subpoint number four, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is immutable. He is absolutely unchangeable, and that is also an attribute of God alone. John chapter 8, verse 58, "As we saw in our last message, Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.' He declared himself to be Jehovah, the eternal, unchangeable God." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12 is another passage we looked at last time. "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." And then we have the great declaration of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So once again, our fourth subpoint is that Jesus Christ is immutable. He is absolutely unchangeable. Subpoint number five, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is life itself. This likewise is an attribute of God alone. The Bible teaches in Genesis and elsewhere that God is the giver of physical life and that God is the giver of eternal life. The Apostle John, in particular, emphasizes this in his gospel account and in his first epistle. John chapter 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, "This is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." So our fifth subpoint is that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is life itself. Subpoint number six, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the performer of miracles. And the Bible tells us that this is a power that is reserved to God alone and to those to whom he gave that power. Psalm 146, verse 8, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." Jesus Christ healed the sick. He made the lame and the paralyzed able to walk. He restored sight to the blind. He restored hearing to the deaf. He healed lepers. He healed those who were physically deformed. He raised the dead. He multiplied a handful of loaves and fishes to feed over 5,000 people on one occasion and over 4,000 on another. He changed water into wine. Bible prophecy said that miracles would be a sign of the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus began his public ministry, we read in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." We read in Luke chapter 10 and elsewhere that Jesus gave to his disciples the ability to perform miracles. This was a power and an authority that he gave to them. It was not by their own power and authority that they were able to do these things. So our sixth subpoint is that Jesus Christ is the performer of miracles. Related to subpoint number six is subpoint number seven. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. The creation of the universe out of nothing by a mere spoken word is an attribute of God alone. Jesus Christ is the performer of miracles, and the creation of the universe is the greatest physical miracle of all. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, we read this, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name? If you know." And last time we looked at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." The universe is supernaturally created, and our seventh subpoint is that Jesus Christ himself is the creator of the universe. Related to subpoint number seven is subpoint number eight. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the sustainer of the universe. Colossians 1:17, the very next verse after the one we just read, says that Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things consist. Literally all things, the entire universe, hang together because of him. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that Jesus Christ is upholding all things by the word of his power. The supernaturally created universe is also supernaturally sustained. If Jesus Christ were to take his finger off of this universe for even a split second, it would descend into chaos and cease to exist. He is the one who sustains it by supernatural power. That is subpoint number 8. Our final subpoint number 9 is this. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the forgiver of sin. We see this in the account of Jesus' healing of the paralytic in Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw anything like this. Even the unbelieving Jews understood that no one could forgive sins except God himself. And Jesus Christ declared and demonstrated that he had that power. And along those lines, let me say to you that no earthly priest in a confessional booth has the power or the authority to forgive your sins. The Roman Catholic confessional is a usurpation of the authority to forgive sins that belongs to God alone, and he has not delegated that authority to anyone else. Only God through Christ can forgive your sins. And we are to come directly to God, directly to the throne of grace. As 1 John 1:8 and 9 tell us, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, I'm sorry to say that this is all we have time for today. We still have one more major proof area to look at. In answer to the question, how do you know that Jesus Christ is God? And that proof point, number 8, is that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is to be worshipped, and only God is to be worshipped, not any man. And Jesus said that he is to be worshipped just as God the Father is to be worshipped. I want to save that for next time because it is a very important point, and I don't want to cover it in a superficial way. It's really the culminating point of all that we've been talking about so far, and I want to make sure that we cover it well. So I hope you'll be with us next time as we look at why the Bible says Jesus Christ is to be worshipped, and why He is the one who is worthy of all glory and honor and praise for all eternity.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
As I always do, let me remind you that if you need to understand more about what it means to have your sins forgiven, or more about living the Christian life and gaining a deeper knowledge of God's Word, we would be glad to help you. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll send you one without cost or obligation. In the United States, you can call us right now toll-free at 888-804-9655. Once again, that's 888-804-9655. So why not give us a call right now? And let me remind you once again that if you'd like to hear this program again, or share it with a friend, or read a full text version of today's message, just go to our website, teachingtheword.org, and click the broadcast link. Once again, that's the broadcast link at teachingtheword.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to us and we'll be glad to mail you an audio CD or a printed copy of any broadcast. We'll also be happy to answer any questions you may have and send you a Bible if you need one. Our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, that's Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Also, if you would like to receive our free daily email publication, The Profitable Word, we would be glad to add you to our mailing list without cost or obligation. Each day's edition of The Profitable Word includes an answer to a question from the Bible, and readers around the world tell us that they find these questions and answers very helpful in their Christian lives. You can sign up for the Profitable Word email edition by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the free publications link. Once again, that's the free publications link at teachingtheword.org. On our next broadcast, we're going to continue our focus on the Bible's proofs that Jesus Christ is truly God and that He is to be worshipped. So until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.